Years at the First Micronesian Assembly of God Church in Reeds, Missouri. This year, Ms. Locken has begun to speak publicly around the United States about how the continual nuclear bombardment from 1946 to 58 has affected her health, the health of her people, and of her homeland.
Sorry, I'm trying to compose myself. My name is Najin Anjan Logan, and I'm from Rabaul Atoll. I was only 4 years old when the U.S. returned the Rabaul people back to the island. Because I was young at the time, I didn't understand a lot of things. But I remember they told us not to eat any local foods, as well as food from the ocean. The AEC doctors, they came to the islands every year in January and brought seafood, sea rations with them for us to eat. But when we ran out of food, we had no choice. We had to get food from the ocean or the land. I remember eating some of the food that they told us not to eat. I had blister in my mouth. I remember people getting sick, vomiting, diarrhea, flu-like sickness. We got blisters on our feet from walking on the sand. We didn't understand what was going on. Nobody explained it to us. But we knew that it was because of the bomb and the radiation that fell on the islands. On March 1st, 1954, as you know, an hydrogen bomb called Bravo was dropped over Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands, causing radiation fall out across all the islands, especially Bikini and Aniwetta, and the inhabited atolls of Rongla and Utsur. Because I am from Rongla, I will only speak to what happened there on Rongla. My uncle John Anjan, who you saw in the picture, was the mayor of Rongla at the time. And he talked about what happened there in 1954. And this is his statement, and I'm going to read it to you. On March 1st, he was awakened at 5 o'clock in the morning. He was getting ready to go fishing. He and another man, they were making coffee outside of their houses. They saw a bright light to the west of Rongla. When the light reached Rongla, there were many colors, beautiful colors. People came out to see, yellow, red, green. No one knew what was going on or what was happening. Then there was a gust of wind that came from west. It was so strong that some people staggered, including my uncle, John and John. They saw smoke cloud. My uncle stood there and watched the cloud and heard a loud sound, louder than thunder. Women and children were so scared, they ran into the woods. Once the sound died out, everyone started doing their normal daily activities. Some of the men went fishing, like my uncle, and when he was walking along the beach and saw the sky, he said it looked like it was white like smoke. He went ahead and got some fish, then went to get some coconuts. He went back to the beach and started eating. Then the powder started falling, began to fall. He looked at the trees and they turned white, as well as his entire body. Everything turned white. He didn't know that this was dangerous. The powder fell all day long and all night long. My cousin, Erosie Gavinley, who you saw in the picture, was in a coconut tree when the powder fell. It started itching and he ran into the ocean. It got worse. Other children playing in the white powder. Maybe they thought it must be snow or soap or something. They didn't know what it was. Later, people went to get water. It had turned yellowish color. Then they realized that the powder that fell all day long and all night long was harmful. But the people still ate and drank contaminated food and water. People were sick, very, very sick. On March 2nd, two men came to Rolla to inspect the damage from the bomb. They told my uncle they were going to stay 20 minutes, but they didn't even stay 10 minutes. They left. They didn't even tell the people how dangerous the bomb was. They didn't even tell them not to eat the food and drink the water. They left without telling them anything. The next day, the people's hair started falling out. They had burned skin. They were sick with vomiting, diarrhea, and aches. Aches all over their body. They let them fend for themselves. On the third day, people came with a plane and ship. They told them to get on board, not to take anything with them. Anyone who's thinking about staying behind would die. But before they got on board, they stripped them naked, man and woman, together. They sprayed them down. They gave the woman men t-shirts and underwear to wear. And they went to another island called Island 9 to pick up more people there. They did the same thing to them, stripped them naked, sprayed them down, boarded them onto the ship. Then they took them to Guadalajara and left them there for 3 months. They took the woman to the lagoon side, bathed them 3 times a day to wash themselves with soap. And every time they would check them for radiation, they needed 2 interpreters to talk with them. These 2 men, interpreters, saw their sisters, their mothers, their daughters stripped naked right in front of them. They stayed there 3 months. Then they took to another island on Matra called Edges. The people had to build their homes and were left to fend for themselves. They stayed there for 3 years. Then they decided, they had a meeting and decided to take them back to Rolla. They built them some houses on Rolla. My uncle asked them why they were taking them back if the island was still dangerous. They told them that it was contaminated, but it was not dangerous. But if anybody was thinking about remaining on Edges, then they have to fend for themselves. So the people had no choice. They had to go back to Rolla, the contaminated atoll. I was with them on the trip back to Rolla. Like I said, I was dumb and I didn't understand many things. But I saw people die of cancers, babies born with the food bottles. Some of them you could see their brain, their bone, backbones. Some babies that were born didn't look like human beings. They looked like animals or other things. I asked one of my cousins, why didn't you take pictures of the babies that were born deformed? She said, I was ashamed. I was hurt. And I didn't want people to see them. I didn't want them to know what happened. I left Rolla and went to high school. I was 14 years old. One day the doctors came to the school and gathered all the people from Rolla to take them to hospital to examine them. It was a shameful thing for me because people made fun of us. They say, there goes the poison people. They didn't want to associate with us or come near us. There was a boy who wanted to date me, but I was contaminated. He didn't want anything to do with me. But it's okay, he was a bone loser. I'm glad I married my husband for 41 years, 7 kids, 13 grandkids. I consider myself very blessed. So I grew up ashamed and hurt and thought all the people of Rolla were some kind of devils. All things that I grew up hearing, my grandmothers and the elders, every time they talk about things, they started crying because of everything that happened to them. But no one told them or explained anything to them. So it was like nothing had happened and no one cares. It took them a long time before they got any kind of help with health care. When the doctors came to the Highland to check us once a year, they took samples, urine, and blood, but never told us anything that was happening. People were sick with thyroid problems and cancer. My cousin Liggis, I'm trying, he was only a year old when the powder fell on the island. But as a teenager in 1965, they brought him here to the state so they could examine him. They brought my uncle here too and told him he was really, really sick. They said he had leukemia. His son never returned to Rolla. He took him back to roll up in a box. My cousin Erosi Kevendi, who was on the tree when the powder fell, he died when he was a teenager. I was in the United States when the people was evacuated from the island in 1985 by Greenpeace in a boat called Rainbow Warrior. In 1975, my father went to Japan and asked for help. No one from the United States would help, so my father went on television and radio and asked for help. Scientists from Japan came and they said, remove these people, because the island was 3 times worse than Hiroshima. About 5 years ago, I was sick. They said it was an infected lymphoid all over my neck. Had nose bleed. Doctors said they don't know what caused it and said it was really hard to get rid of. I was sick for 3 years. And they gave me all kinds of antibiotics. Until now, I still don't understand. I still don't know. But I do know that I was on the island and consume food and water that was contaminated. So I know I was affected by the bomb too. All these things happen to us and we don't know why, but we are trying to tell people what happened. It is not a shameful thing for me to talk about it anymore, but it is really sad thing for me to talk about what happened to our islands. I left Rolla when I was 11 years old in 1964, and I have never returned. I miss it very much. You might say, I am lucky to be alive today. But I say, I am here by the grace of God. He's still on his throne, and he's still in control. So I could curse America, but I'm going to say, God bless America. God bless you all. And thank you for listening to my story.